Not often do we see a lot of winners anymore. Not often do we see individual Christians that will stand up for the truth of Christ. The only hope you and I have in the battle for life, and folks, it is a battle that is continuing. A battle that so many people finally give up on, and they really sad. Okay, I give up. I can't do this anymore. I can't do that anymore. I give up. When you get to that point, focus on a personality. Because as a Christian, I realize through Christ, I can't lose. Through Christ and His promise, that promise will be a part of who I am throughout eternity. You can't take that promise away from me. No one can take that promise away from you. So we look around and we say, well, wait a minute. Why then does it feel to me like I keep losing all of these battles? The battles that we seem to continue to lose are the battles that we have decided to fight on by ourselves. Well, you know, individuals will look and they will say, oh, we have great intellect, so I will trust my intellect. What about those of us who don't have much intellect? What about those of us who don't think like someone else? Oh, by the way, you do realize no one thinks like you think. You're an individual. I'm an individual. God said, I'm going to create each one to be different. But there's only one victory in your life. One way to that victory in your life. And I'm going to give you the victory, and I'm going to promise you that you have already won. Now, is that not an army that you want to be a part of? See, God looks to us and says, you have chosen the wrong sword. You think that you can create your sword, bigger weapons, longer range. Now, you tell me who has longer range. God or man? The heaven that we see within the Scripture is not within our vision. The heavens, the inner heavens that we see, it's beyond anything your mind can imagine. And God says, I want you to know that I said higher than anyone, than any nation. I'm in control, God says. And aren't you thankful that you know God through His Son, and don't you feel good to finally understand that somebody knows what they're doing? Somebody is in control. Even when you don't think that somebody is you. Well, I got news for you. Join the rest of us. You will never be in control. How can you control the mind of someone else? Can you make someone love you? Can you make someone do something for you with the right heart? God says, look, I love you so much, I'm going to give my only begotten Son so that you will understand the sword of victory that you need to be taking through this life. Come on, folks, we're not going to be here on earth that long. Some of us shorter than others. Our lifespan is short. That's not because God doesn't love us. That's because God does love us. Says you're not going to have to put up with yourself very long. That reflection that you look at in the mirror, that so often you're so angry with, because did your tongue just start talking ever, and you thinking, that didn't come from me, did it? Have you ever noticed that so often we as individuals, we just blurt out words? They hurt, they discourage. That's what Satan does. Satan uses his sword of discouragement. God says, I'm going to give you the only sword you will ever have a need. Of the Old Testament, we'll find the story of Gideon. Gideon called by God to stand up against the evil nations surrounding him. So what does he do? Gideon sends out spies, check them out. No way, we can't count the number of their army. It's impossible, there is the sand of the sea. So Gideon, you know, unites this great 140,000 army. And God said, Gideon, you got a problem. That's too many. Anyway, God whittles down his army, Gideon's, to 300. And that 300 were given orders by Gideon through the power of God. Stand and watch. And you see, it was not the sword of Gideon. Here's what Gideon said at the time he was directed to let the light shine from the bowls surrounding the fire, and he hit them on the torches and things light up. You know what Gideon was ordered by God to yell? The sword of God and of Gideon. Gideon meant, you know, the sword of God's winning it. God tells us to go in and clean up. And when the great armies saw the 300, they came out of their tents and killed each other. Only by the sword of God such power can be given. We look at God's word so often and we read the stories. Joshua gets a little cocky sometimes. All preachers and leaders do. Gets a little cocky, and God reminds him of the battle of Jericho. You know what he said? God said, Joshua, you did not win that battle by sword. And then God breaks it to him. I sent the hornet ahead of you. God said, you want to see how my sword works? I'll send the hornets after you. And I'm talking about hornets. For those of you who want to look at that, I want to head Judges 7:18, the story of Gideon. You will hear Joshua 24:12, where God says, it wasn't by your sword, Gideon. Sometimes you and I have a tendency to think that we know how to deal with situations better than God. Oh, and we'll use, well, I don't want to bother God with this. You want the situation worked out? You're no bother to God at all. Do you know when I said yes to Jesus Christ at that young age? He knew all the dumb stuff I was going to do after I got saved. And he saved me anyway. Woo! What a sword. The sword of victory in Vietnam for those of us who are believers and all folks in any battle, in any combat. You walk away and think, how did I live through that? How God protects us. Sometimes his protection ends to such a point that he takes us on home. Now, for the Christian, that ain't bad. But for families that are left, they don't understand. God says, I am the sword of victory for you. Every individual is an individualist. You're created that way by God. And he says, I'm going to use your personality. And I want you to know I'm going to give you the sword of victory. And it doesn't matter what battle you're in life, I promise you, you've already won. And that sword of victory can certainly be ours. Again, it's not the big armies. with the biggest guns. Young David going out and meeting the giant Goliath. And he strikes him between the eyes with a stone. Many people believe that he picked up 5 stones, not because he thought he would miss, but because he had 4 other brothers that were giants. But you know what took place? Goliath's sword was so big and so mighty, yet through the direction of Almighty God, David slings that stone, and David pulls out Goliath's own sword and cuts off his head. He didn't need one going into battle. He would use the enemies to destroy the enemy. And God gave him victory. You and I are victorious today only because God loves us. And God said, I want you to understand my power. And it's always through the Word of God. Now, the sword of God and the Word of God. Every Easter, I will tell you at the sunrise service the same story, that the cross and the tomb can never be separated. It's like the back of your hand and the palm of your hand can never be separated. Well, the sword of God and the Word of God are the same way. Can never be separated. The Word of God is full power. The sword of God is the palm of the hand, and He will always be victorious. Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation. You and I, when we say yes to Jesus Christ, we call it being born again, being saved, born from above, born of the Spirit. Anyway, anything you want to call it, it's our helmet. That salvation is placed upon us. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is the Word of God. You see, the Word of God represents Jesus. Got a lot of names in Scripture. He is the Word. He's from the beginning. Did you know that Jesus Christ was with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, before there was time? Didn't ever really think of it, did we? Because we're having a hard time trying to figure out why He would ever save us in the first place, much less die for us. But in the beginning, listen to the Alpha part, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. John 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. There's never been a time that they were ever separated until one time in history when it concerned you and me. Of all the guilt that Christ took from us when He went to that cross, all the guilt for whosoever will believe, all the power that went in there, Jesus was ready and waiting for. But the only time before time began till now and forever that there was ever a separation was when Jesus was on the cross and He cried for Daddy, Daddy, Father, why have You forsaken me? You see, the ultimate of punishment that any human being could ever receive would be to separate from love, from hope. That's the ultimate punishment. Jesus chose to take that ultimate punishment that belongs to me and you. And he chose to conquer it. For when he cried that out so loud, "Why have you forsaken me?" Oh, folks, I can hear the name. I did it for Larry Pete. Your name over and over and over. I will never have to feel that pain, the separation from God, because Jesus took it on my behalf. So I would dishonor his name or dishonor his word. He said, "I'm going to give you the power, not just for life on earth, for eternity. The word of God will live forever. Prophecy will go away." Think of that. The only power left will be God's word. And God said, "I'm going to allow my word to indwell you." That's being born again. "And I'm going to see to it that the power for you to conquer as an individual, you're always going to have it." So why do we feel like we've lost so many battles in our life? It's because of our human condition. The human condition is conditioned the way that you and I think we can handle it. Oh, I'm tough. I can handle it. You cannot handle what you don't understand. That's why God says, "I'll give you my son." Do you know whether I understand it or not? Whether I know how to spell Jesus or not? Whether I say Jesus in a different way or not? He knows me, and I know him. Victory is already assured. But you and I need to show up. Gideon didn't have to fight a battle. Joshua didn't fight the battle. To put it in perspective, Joshua, the great man of God, Lord said, "Hang on there, son. I'll send the hornets out." Being replaced by a bug, I think a hornet's a bug. Jesus said, going in for his last week at Jerusalem, he said, "If they are silent," meaning praising him, "the rocks will cry out." How'd you like to be overshadowed by a rock? Do you ever hear "dumb as a box of rocks"? That's what women say about their husbands a lot. You think of that. God said, "I'll make that rock cry out." And yet we are given the best. We are given the greatest love. We're a part of the greatest love story ever told. And God says, "No, you do not have to lose. When you lose, you choose it. Because you refuse to trust me. Trust me." As a matter of fact, he said, "I'm going to give you a guidebook called the Bible. I want you to go through there and I want you to see all the battles that were ever fought and won are those battles of the people who trusted me." We cannot win the battle of life without the Creator of life giving us that sword of victory, His Word. When I have the Word of God, and you have the Word of God, and God says there's nothing more powerful, sometimes we don't understand the meaning of that. So now we're going to go to the book of Revelation. Told you the word Alpha and Omega. The word is at the beginning, and God's word, Jesus, is at the end of existence on planet Earth. Well, don't worry about that. We've got a lot of stuff to do after this earth throughout eternity with him. But listen. Jesus says to John the Revelator, matter of fact, the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ by John. It's not a revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to his churches. And John has been chosen to give it to us. So we're getting to the end of the history of the human race as we know it. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 13 through 16, I want you to see the rider on the white horse. I want to remind those of you who are Bible students, you study all the time. In Revelation chapter 6, I don't know the verse. In Revelation chapter 6, you will see that it is a false Christ riding on a white horse. In chapter 19, this is Jesus. This is the real person. And Jesus falling through on a promise. I'm coming back to get you. I'm coming back to show you what being a king is all about. I came first to earth as a servant, but my return will be as a conquering king, the king. And we have that story. Listen to it as we see how he's dressed. Revelation 19, verses 13 through 16. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. Okay, that's not his blood. That's the blood of the enemies. That's the blood of all those who fought against his church. That's the blood they will witness, or we will witness. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him. Actually, that's all the saints going on, and the angels also. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen. We're going to look as bright as light. White and clean. Out of his mouth. Now you're listening. What comes out of the mouth of Jesus? It's his word. The word of God. What is the word of, what is the sword of God? It is the word of God. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. So powerful, it can never be overthrown. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. This is the end. This is the time of your Armageddon. And Jesus comes back and says, I warned you. He also said that no one will stand before God the Father with any excuse. God revealed to us that I, says God, have revealed myself to you. You can't blame Larry Vance. You can't blame any other teacher or preacher or family member. God says, I told you who my son is. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God. Now listen to this. Of all the names, the Word of God, the Savior, of all the names given to Christ, this is the greatest name of the importance of his love for us. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written. King of kings and Lord of lords. The king is coming. We sing it. We need to believe it. And when he comes, he says, it's going to be over. For all humanity had been given an opportunity for eternal life with me. But there's going to come a time when I shut it off. And I, says Jesus, will pour out the wrath of Almighty God, my Father, on all who have bothered my children. That's how important you and I are to Him. Folks, you don't mess with the children of God. I mean, being around so many people, I remember through the years of watching the chaplain of the prison system and all, you know, you would think, how am I going to handle this inmate? How am I going to handle this one? And then all of a sudden, they bring them up to the second floor. You go out on the yard area to meet with them, and all the thoughts of how you were going to handle them go right down the tube when you start looking up at them, seeing how big they are, how ugly they are, how mean they are, and you start saying, Lord, are you sure I'm the one for this job? And then sharing Christ and watching a giant weep. I want to know, chaplain, this man Jesus you're talking about. Only the Word of God can do that, folks. Only the love of God can touch the most hideous of offenders. I've always thought myself as being that. No one being worse than me. And everyone being better. And I said, oh, Lord, thank you for getting me out in the real world after a lifetime of prison chaplain. Because I get to go to church where all the Christians love each other. They all get along and never any problems. And then I thank God for the training He gave me as chaplain of the prison system, so I could become a pastor. People are no different, folks. We're just not. And I guarantee you this, Jesus is never different. When He said, I love you, Larry, He said, I love you forever. Now, no one can have authority over the child that of God Almighty. Book of Revelation will show you that. When God speaks, all creation hears. And He says at this time in Revelation 19, when I come, not only will you hear, but you will feel. People said, oh, to see Him come from the sky. I don't know about that, folks. I could not stand in His presence. All heaven can shout, your Savior is coming, Larry, and He loves you so much. But to be in the presence of the Son of God who loved me so much and expressed His love to me in this human existence, the way He has, and how I will feel like such a failure compared. I could not stand in His presence. I guarantee you I will be on my face, and I guarantee you I will look inside of me as a human being and see the failures, the hurt I've caused others. But now wait a minute. When Jesus steps down, I know His hand will touch His children. Do you think that you could come in after being gone for so long and not love your children? Jesus will say to every Christian, I came to get you. I want you out to be with me. Now you talk about a home in glory that outshines the sun. There's no home that can outside outshine the Son of God. And he says, I've come for you. I think that's a lot of love I don't deserve, but I got it. Only thing I can say is, he'll look at me and look at you and says, I love you anyway. Whew. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, for the peace that only you can give. Father, realizing that your word is our sword, direct us, Father, as we study more and seek out the wisdom of your word to extend the strength of the sword that you've given us. Help us now, Father, to help one another. For those who do not know you, Father, I pray that it'll be your Spirit that touches the hearts and lives be changed. You are all we have. We thank you, Father, and ask your blessing on each one in Jesus' name. Amen.